dying on the vine.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Kansas City Marathon will take place October 19th with probable road closures. Start time is 7:05 a.m. Route begins downtown and proceeds through Westport, Brookside, and turns back north at 75th Street. Full marathon will end mid-afternoon. Please visit kcmarathon.org for more detailed information. This message, a public service of 90.1 KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Which is what you're listening to. It's 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Happy Columbus Day, everybody. Otherwise known as International Military Genocide Day.
Religious military industrial complex at that point.
Something along those lines. Something along those lines. It's just a few minutes after the hour of three. We just listened to Suicide 2843.
Approximately.
It's called Digital Schizophrenia.
That one was Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis. Did you make that up, or is that a System of the Down song?
Terrence McKenna.
Terrence McKenna. I was close with the System of a Down, I think.
Well, something like that.
No, I'm just joking. Terrence McKenna. I mean, he was making some salient points there.
As he's known to do.
And that we, you know, there's serious problems confronting us, and we're pretending like there's nothing wrong with what's going on whatsoever. And it's, you know, and it's an amazing thing because you can say that. You could say, Jake, people need to be more free. Free as the wind. Free is the only way to be. How do you give people more freedom? Give them money?
No.
Is that what you do? Is that you give somebody freedom? Because you just go, right now, we could just do an experiment and just go, we're all free. We're all free right now. What's stopping you? And I'm going to go with, you know, we're free to practice the golden rule or whatever it is. You know, we don't. Is what's preventing you from being a murderer or something? You know, if we were talking about freedom, people always say, well, if you just let people do whatever they want, then you're going to have a lot of murder, rape, and greed. And I say, well, but I tell you, sir, by the poor people, we'll finally get a shot at it.
Right.
At the whole murder, rape, and greed. But, I mean, come on. Is it that people are prevented from doing stuff that is dangerous to themselves and violent towards other people because of laws?
Laws have never stopped anybody.
Yeah, I don't think that's what actually does it. It's more like, you know, certain levels of socialization within groups and custom, but mostly people aren't violent and dangerous towards other people and themselves if drugs and alcohol aren't involved. That's one of the big things. It was crazy people with drugs and alcohol. So with that being said, dealing with folks out there on Genocide Day, it's been the 14th day of October. Even though they say Columbus actually found the New World on the 12th of October.
Took them 2 days to get off the boat and on the shore.
It would have taken a long time back then. And that's one of the big arguments. Was Columbus a great sailor and man? Was he a revolutionary in his time or an evolutionary, whatever? Or was he just a genocidal maniac?
Genocidal maniac.
A lot of people believe that. A lot of people have very little or no reason to defend Columbus Day. And you got to, I mean, Columbus Day, think about this, is a bank holiday, but the children still go to school. It's a confusing holiday. No trash tomorrow. Columbus Day.
But there's school.
But there's school. So I don't, I'm confused there. It doesn't make a lot of sense. It's like they need the children to go to school on Columbus Day so they can be fed full of lies.
Right. And
is that what it is, Jake?
Well, and
is that what it's all about?
Christopher Columbus wasn't even his name. C-O-L-O-N, I believe, is his last name. Columbus is in reference to the District of Columbia, Columbia Records, Columbia Pictures. That's the Columbus.
Well, you say that. All those things came after Columbus, though.
Well, Columbia came first. All of those things were then named after that entity. Oh, I'm looking up his real name.
You say all that without saying what Columbia is. It makes you sound like a madman.
It does, but there's a purpose to it. I used to just start blathering on about what it meant, and people tuned out. And I found, like, if you leave that carrot out there, the people that want to know will go, oh, yeah, District of Columbia. Who's Columbia that this is the district of? Then you look at all of the Columbia University. There's a ton of cities with a major university in a Columbia or a Columbus. Columbine, District of Columbia, Columbia Pictures, Columbia Records. There's an underlying entity to all of that, Christopher Columbus, that if you just start rattling off an esoteric explanation, people tend to not care or just think it's madness. But yes, I've gotten in a habit of just saying that. And like I said, letting people who are curious go figure it out.
Did you read out there that topless women are staging a pro-abortion protest in Spain right now? It's a live late-breaking news.
It's quite exciting.
We're going to go to some video of that. Yeah, that's there they are. It's pretty insane. All right, thumbs up for that. Topless women staging pro-abortion protest. And I don't know why these two stories make sense in my head together. But in other news, European retailers embrace crooked fruit and ugly veggies. But crooked fruit. Any takers for blemished apples, misshapen carrots, or overly bent cucumbers? So this is all stuff that, you know, this is produce that would be, you know, sold at a farmer's market.
Grade C or B.
But instead, we're selling it at the grocery store. This is in Europe, of course. But 60% off is the deal that you get, essentially, they're saying. For, you know, carrots with extra, you know, tips. They were saying cauliflower that's got some of that brown stuff on it. Have you ever seen, you know, cauliflower is, you can get cauliflower really dirty really easily.
Right. Well, it's white and it's on the ground.
No, you can see how that might happen. But just, you know, funny looking fruits. Apples with a spot on them. But you think about it. Going to the grocery, have you ever been at the grocery store and you look at the Best Buy date on something and then you realize that it's expired and then you look and there's like 30 other packages of that expired item that you were just looking at the Best Buy date on?
Yeah.
And just go like, what do they now do with this spinach?
Discount it. Because
apparently nobody bought the spinach. No, they never discount it. They throw it away.
No, right.
You shop at the place, they discount, they're like, you got a that's called Cargo Largo, by the way.
Right.
Where you go there.
Say, there's one stop before the trash can.
Sometimes. But most of that stuff, I'm pretty sure, just gets thrown away. I think there's an amazing amount of food that gets thrown away from grocery stores.
And restaurants.
On a regular basis. Well, you got to think that in a restaurant, it's people not wanting to finish their food.
Or cooks making too much.
And there's damn crooks out there. But crooked fruit, ugly veggies, you know, so be it. That's just great. An amazing amount of food that gets thrown away every year before, apparently, you know, before it even leaves the farm. They're, you know, leaving fruit on the vine, etc. You go driving around this fine country and you realize that everything is corn. Corn is king everywhere.
And soybeans.
Yeah, you see soybeans, but it's not like you see corn.
Well, corn's taller, so it catches the eye.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Go to a cornfield and all it, I mean, you can't run through it forwards or backwards. It's so crammed full of corn. Now it's good that, you know, there's plenty of food out there, I guess, is the broader point. At 10 minutes past the hour of 3.
Did you see that the LAPD's police dogs are now being accused of institutional racism?
I think the accusation should be made for all dogs. All dogs are racists.
I've noticed they get a bit more aggressive the darker hue of the melatonin.
Yeah, you know, dogs.
In the first 6 months of this year, every single victim of a bite by the LASD dog, which stands for LA Sheriff's Department, was African American or Latino. This data was published in a new report by the Police Assessment Resource Center, a Los Angeles-based nonprofit devoted to advancing effective and accountable policing. Now the dogs need sensitivity training. I thought dogs were colorblind. What's that all about?
That is a good point. They always said that. The dogs are, but even is the implication is.
Well, I think the implication is the officers are racist and they let them off their leash.
Well, you know.
When there's a black or a Hispanic perp in front of them. Uh-oh. That prompted a phone call. Hopefully this isn't somebody from Wayside Waifs or PETA.
The police and dogs, it's an interesting situation because they retire. Some police dogs get retired. And they get medals and badges and stuff. And they, you know, are considered heroes.
Right.
But the first thing that a cop, I say it like that, a SWAT team does if they kick in your door is they shoot your dog. Now, which is all fine if you're somebody that deserves to have their door kicked in. I mean, let's be honest here. The SWAT team, they kick the doors into a lot of places. Some of them deserve to have the doors knocked into.
It's a full-time job.
They make mistakes. It happens. A lot more than it should. Sometimes it seems a little frivolous and careless.
And aggressive.
But there were some people over maybe like 42nd in Forest or something. This is a story from recently, and they had like a codes violation that one of the neighbors had called in, and somebody had called in. So the codes enforcer shows up, and then there's a dog in the, this is like the water department or something. There's a dog in the front yard, and the police get involved somehow, and the dog gets shot.
Well,
over a water bill violation.
Grass was too tall.
All right, you owe us $500, and we're going to execute your dog.
And pay for the cleanup.
All right, well, 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You're on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, guys. It's Big Dog.
Good morning, Big Dog.
How you guys doing?
Anyone shoot at you?
No.
That's good. How you're out there? You're out there doing what you do. You know, sometimes just being out there on the streets can make you a target.
That, and you could witness pretty crazy people. But I called in because I wanted to drop this on you. You guys were talking earlier about chemicals and meth and all this stuff. Apparently, in the USA Today, meth-like chemical in sports powder, weight loss supplement.
You're saying that was in the newspaper USA Today?
Yeah, yeah.
And how much? How much is this an advertisement? How much was it?
No, this is apparently the.
Is there a website we could visit?
Well, it's in the front of the news. It's on the front page of the newspaper, so it might be on the USA Today website. I don't know. I haven't read into it completely because I've been throwing papers. It just caught my eye, and I wanted to get with you before you went on the what you call it.
Well, you know, people like their drugs, big dog. All kinds of people out there.
Well, heck, if I would have known there was meth in this, I might be trying it because, you know, I got to shed a few pounds.
No, and that's the way to do it. If you really want to get serious about a weight loss program, methamphetamines apparently is a...
Yeah.
There's a before and after thing. There's some... The police department does some service. And they have a before and after picture thing.
Right. Why not good nutritional eating habits versus chemicals? Why, you know... Let's go with the chemical.
You get that. No. What you do though is you get organic methamphetamines. You get the fair trade, organic, sustainably raised, minimally processed, hormone free methamphetamines.
There you go.
That's what
I'm talking about. And have you guys heard this thing about the Obamacare, where they can literally come in and snatch your kids up?
So
have you heard about this
and
stuff?
Give them shots, right?
No, well, okay. I read into the
put them on
the
helicopters and immunize
in the
them.
Bill, and apparently, if you already have a state program like a DFS, okay, I don't know if they're all DFS throughout every state, you can apply for federal funding to boost the parameter of the reach of your Divisional Family Services. Now, the entire detail behind it seems to me, and of course some of the provisions I read, if you're already on the teat of the government receiving WIC or food stamps or any type of government assistance, you are already on their radar. If you smoke tobacco or abuse drugs and stuff like that, they can literally target you, come in, and see if the kids are in a good situation. And if not, they can, based on their provisions given, they can literally remove the kids from the situation. And one of them that was shocking was, I thought Obama smoked cigarettes. Well, one of them was smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And I'm not, have you ever known anyone that's had to deal with Child Protective Services or DSS or DFS or whatever you want to call them?
Yeah, I have my wife's sister has to deal with the state and has to deal directly with DFS because she basically now is in control of her three grandchildren based on DFS circumstances with her family, you know, with her son and whatnot,
yeah.
And the kids involved, grandkids involved. And it's a very difficult situation.
So the DFS runs the parental visits, the parenting time. Is that the involvement?
Yes, and also the idea behind because of the situation that my wife's sister receives government assistance as well,
right,
to help with the three grandchildren. So. And we were talking about it because, you know, it's on our radar, and I was talking to them about it. And, yeah, it seems to me if the state applies for the federal funding, it actually increases the reach of these family services.
Yeah, it's one heck of a thing. What I know is that a lot of those entities, especially in Kansas City, are very busy. very, very busy. They have a hard enough time prosecuting actual cases of abuse, let alone dealing with the vindictive nature of the ability to anonymously hotline somebody that you may have a grudge against, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One heck of a thing.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was part of a Obamacare. Hello. But there is an example. Are you guys familiar with Truman Medical Center over there off of Lee Summit Road?
It's, well, right. I usually go to the one downtown after I've been shot.
Have you been wounded. Shot recently?
No, I've been pretty good.
Yeah.
What is it? Six, 7 months, something like that.
Yeah, you receive the extra 4,400 power. You can dodge bullets, huh?
No. Yeah, no. I've been wearing a vest.
Yeah. Well, so now when we talking about this Truman Medical Center, one thing I noticed, because I racked up there in the last couple months some rather large emergency room visits, and they told me I could come in, and based on my income, which is what I came in, they reviewed, whatever, got my discount, and they handed me a thick old piece of paper. Actually, it's probably about 20 pages worth of how it's going to affect the consumer. Obamacare, as of January 1st. Now, we're supposed to be signing up for it, like you said, I believe October 1st. But nothing's different, Ben, Jake. It's nothing's different. Two things that changed.
Big dog.
You pay a premium and you pay a penalty.
Can I tell you what's different?
What's that?
You feel different.
No, not really.
No, but I mean, that's...
Why are we, you know, if you can apply for assistance and get it on a sliding scale like Obamacare, why do you have to pay a premium or a penalty if you don't accept it when it's already there?
Being able to pay for cash medical services at a non-for-profit hospital, either a charity hospital or a state-run hospital, is different, you know, than the insurance program that is attempting to be implemented by the Obama administration. It's different.
Well, I understand. I'm talking about the coverages here, not, I guess, what you're, you know, one private, one profit, one whatever.
See, I think all the important stuff that Obamacare was supposed to do has already happened. Then they say you can't be, prejudiced by an insurance company for having a pre-existing condition. They can't kick you off of their insurance plans if you get sick. I mean, that seems like more of a moral issue. Can't believe that was standard, you know, business practice before. But that's been changed. And all they need to do now is make Medicaid available for more people. And Medicare, too. Make Medicare and Medicaid available to more people. And then your problem's solved. They don't need to shut down the government. They don't need to, create 2,700 new pages of legislation and regulation and all these other things. They don't need to do that. That would be the simple, you know, option there. I would imagine that, you know, we'll find out in 10 years that Obamacare was not a good thing. It was a bad thing. But I don't think it'll be for the reasons that Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck, you know, believe. I think it'll be the reasons that it was set out to be designed for in the first place. The insurance, private insurance in the medical industry has done a lot of things that are not in the patient's best interest. And all that Obamacare is fundamentally doing is giving more power to private insurance companies.
For controlling the overcharging doctors?
Is that what
you're talking about? I'm not following you.
Well, mandating that everyone have insurance.
Okay.
Right? And then you have the public option, right? The public option is Medicare or Medicaid. And then you have a mandate that you have insurance. So you can either have Medicare, Medicaid, or some sort of private insurance.
Okay, well, you're not talking about Obamacare then, because what you're talking about is something that's already in existence. What's changed in these plans is you can get like the bronze, silver, gold, whatever, and it based on a certain amount of premium on a sliding scale because of what your income is, that is what's going to be charged to you as a premium. And then at the end of the year, my understanding is at the end of the year, your subsidies for the premiums paid will kick in, I guess, as like a credit towards your tax situation.
Right. This is all run by the Internal Revenue Service. The idea is that you have to have insurance. You don't have the choice anymore to go in as Big Dog to Truman Medical Center and pay your stuff in cash. You're supposed to, by law, have private or public insurance. Before, you didn't have to have insurance. Now you have to have insurance. And if you don't have insurance, they're going to penalize you via the IRS, which is what John Roberts said was ultimately the tax.
Right. And the first year is $95 per person, $47.50 per child. The second year it goes up, and there's also a percentage, but there's a maximum, but also a percentage of the income. That's why your premium will be based on a sliding scale as well.
That'll be the interesting part. That'll be the interesting part, ultimately. And, of course, anytime you add government into an industry that's already stressed in regards to customer relations, et cetera, insurance companies have, you know, a public image issue, and there is a certain level of, you know, derogatory perception, I believe, that people have about insurance companies, medical insurance companies. How they're bureaucratic and they have all kinds of their own problems and people, you know, what you get covered for, what you don't get covered for, how much it costs, how much you can use. I mean, just to then go, that's the system we're going to use. When ultimately all that needs to have happen is people need to become healthier. And if people ate better and exercised, that would lower the price of healthcare dramatically. It would take the strain off the system. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, you'll get no argument from me on that because, you know, I'm like 120 pounds lighter over the last 2 years. And to be quite frank with you, the easiest and best way is find a food source that gives you the best nutritional value per ounce of that food. And a lot of times in a commercialized industry, where the soil is being used without any type of, I guess you want to call it recovery time, you're going to start losing nutritional value in such foods because they're being mass produced, and the ground is not allowed enough time to heal.
Absolutely. So that's why you have chemical agriculture. That's why you have fertilizers being overly used and destroying and destroying the soil.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that. Well, you find something nutritionally dense and put it in your mouth. All right, Big Dog. We appreciate your phone call, man.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Well, take care.
Bye.
Telephone number is 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI.
I found that USA Today article. Apparently there is a bodybuilding powder called Craze that's turned out to have, according to two labs, a methamphetamine-like compound in it. Of course, they say it's sold at GNC.
Get some of that, a little bath salts, and some K2. Down for having a good night. And some crocodile.
Yeah, this will build the muscle that falls off.
It's amazing what people want to do with themselves.
Anabolic Extreme Rebound XT.
And that's, the interesting thing. So 1.2 billion, we were talking about the Silk Road earlier tonight. And if you don't know what the Silk Road is or was, it was a hidden in plain sight. Well, how would you say that? How does that work? How does the deep internet work? Would be the best way to explain it. I mean, it was a hidden site, a speakeasy type site, a speakeasy for all you people out there who aren't either 80 years old or haven't seen it in a movie before or read it in a book. A speakeasy is an establishment that has no advertisement on the outside, right? You have to know where it is. You have to go maybe offer up some sort of proof that you're legitimate. You can be there. You have to go find the place. It's not something that has, you know, windows, advertisements on the front. You have to go maybe give a password to get in, that kind of thing. So it was a speakeasy place that was like eBay. So it was on the internet, and it was a place where you could buy stuff, but you could buy illegal stuff there. 70% of the transactions on the Silk Road were drug-related, illegal drugs. And from I never went to the website myself, but I kick myself in the foot, Jake. How could we have missed this?
I saw it. Like I said, I was terrified to click on it.
So in the screenshots that I've seen, they sold a lot of really pure MDMA,
right,
which is what all the kids want to do. Everyone from Miley Cyrus to Madonna.
Back to Miley Cyrus,
twerking it. Everyone's on the MDMA. That is the number one drug of choice.
Yeah.
It's what all the kids want to do.
They call it Molly,
which I used to think that was called ecstasy. But it's not. It's not called ecstasy.
Right. That's apparently a degraded form of MDMA.
Actually, what it is that ecstasy is Molly that somebody put in the front pocket of a pair of JNCO jeans. So you just kind of dirty it up there a little bit.
Right.
And I believe that's the case. But, you know, when I was younger, that's what a lot of people would do. They'd want to take these things and go to raves. Take 31 tons of methamphetamines.
A pacifier, some chewy sprees, and it's a night.
Methamphetamine soaked in muscle milk. Or whatever that stuff that you can buy at GNC is.
Craze.
Now, whatever that is.
Anabolic Extreme Rebound XT Post-Cycle Recovery.
I mean, there's all kinds of great beverages out there. Like 4 Loko. You ever have, it's like Colt 45 and 5-Hour Energy in the same can.
Right.
Have you ever seen somebody drink Red Bull and vodka before all night long? Have you ever seen somebody do that?
All night is your only choice after the second one.
Get some craze. But that's the whole point. So you have drugs like Crocodile out there, which seems like a make-believe drug. It's kerosene and Tylenol, you know, with water from the toilet and a Burger King. You know, that people are intravenously putting into their bodies. Do you have to have a certain skill set to be able to stick a needle in your arm, right?
Well, the needle at least.
You can do it incorrectly and kill yourself, right? Give yourself an embolism.
Yeah.
If you have a little, you know, if you end up putting some air in your vein. So, I mean, sticking a needle in your vein and then to be able to do that, to stick, you know, just an absolute poison inside of you. To me, is insane. But then you had this place called the Silk Road, where instead of injecting Crocodile, you could have just bought some heroin.
Yeah, the Russian Crocodile was made from codeine, iodine, and red phosphorus.
Yeah, right. What was the genesis of that?
Russian winter.
Did you ever get, you know, when you were a kid and be like, I'm going to get some peanut butter and some soft scrub
right,
and then some Windex, and then I'm going to pee in it and I'm going to mix it up and I'm going to create, you know, some toxic bomb goo. Did you ever do something like that when you were a kid?
Coffee,
get some toothpaste, yeah, in there. And
coffee creamer was flammable. That was always a main ingredient for homemade bizarrities.
And that's kind of what Crocodile sounds like.
I think red phosphorus is the main ingredient in Tussin.
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah, so get some Tylenol 3, some iodine, and some Tessin.
Now, we're not advocating anyone do any of this stuff.
No, not at all. Go to Wikipedia. They'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. Make a donation while you're there. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. But people are arguing that the Silk Road was a good thing because you had $1.2 billion worth of drug transactions that did not result in anyone getting robbed or
SWAT team.
Well, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever it was, there was no violence associated with it. There were no drive-by shootings, you know, whatever comes along with the war on drugs. You had a way for people to peaceably, within an open marketplace, exchange illegal stuff, contraband. And the guy that, you know, that the guy that they busted, he was a big libertarian guy. As a lot of computer guys are. A lot of computer guys, you know, programmers and hackers and stuff like that are real libertarian types.
If not anarchists.
They had him pegged in one profile I read about Ross Ulbricht. He was a Ron Paul supporter, Jake.
What?
Supported Ron Paul.
And like Silk?
Who doesn't like Silk, man?
Oh, if you got dry skin, it's awful. I'm not a fan of Silk.
You have dry skin, Jake?
I mean, from time to time.
You getting a little ashy? It's getting to be the ashy time of year, too. Because it's fall. $1.2 billion worth of transactions. They said it was done peaceably. This guy was trying to end the war on drugs, I guess.
Which I commend. It's just...
They also say he tried to purchase with bitcoins, because you had to do all this with bitcoins. Bitcoins are an elusive, magical thing. You know, the government confiscated, he said, 80,000 of his bitcoins, but he was reported to have made $80 million. There was some figure in which they had confiscated of his bitcoins. It was like 3,000 of his bitcoins or something, but he had made $80 million with the bitcoins, which was much more than that, because one bitcoin is more than $100. Did you know that?
Well, yeah, it fluctuates.
But they say that it's usually more than $100. It does fluctuate. Some volatility in the market. Very interesting thing, though. Because it's cash for the internet. That's what they say. It's an anonymous way to pay for stuff. Which, that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
So far.
I mean, you have to trust within the system that you're trading within.
Here's the Bitcoin exchange rate. $134.10 currently in U.S. dollars, one Bitcoin.
$134.
20 cents now. Talking it up.
Yeah, yeah, no,
it's,
right.
It's trending. Keep going.
It is trending. But the FBI cannot find this guy's Bitcoin wallet. I mean, the FBI can always find bank accounts, can't they?
Right, but apparently
the FBI always seems to find the trunk of, you know, 100 bundled $100 bills that were buried underneath the shed, right?
Yeah, $80 million in Bitcoin commissions. Yeah, well, there's not one spot. I think that's how the Bitcoins work. Is it's the Bitcoin wallet isn't a central location, that the information is scattered in bits, and you have a certain, kind of like a reverse search engine, brings all those pieces back together instead of scattering them out.
There's not one central location for your Bitcoin wallet?
You'll have a program that finds all your bits.
You can keep it on like a
thumb drive,
right?
The program that finds all the bits, yes, but all the bits wouldn't be in there.
A thumb drive that you store in one of your cavities?
Your prison wallet.
Right. Whereas you want to make sure something's safe. Use your prison wallet.
$134.30.
But it's hard, you know, you can only use Bitcoins on the internet.
For now.
I guess if you had the ability to, you could probably use Bitcoins at a place that's not the internet. You'd have to have a smartphone though.
Right.
It seems like.
One of those little card, magnetic stripe readers.
No, I don't think it works like that.
Well, I mean, it's not an actual credit card, but you could tie some kind of transfer program to it and pay each other in Bitcoin.
And trust me, I've read the as much as I could on Bitcoin, and I still don't understand how it works. I watched their little instructional cartoon video on their website, and I don't get it at all. It seems magical.
A Federal Reserve note?
Apparently, on this Silk Road, which is a hidden website on the Tor network, the Onion Router network, that was shut down by the FBI about 2 weeks ago after they found the creator of Bitcoin, of the Silk Road, in a public library in San Francisco. They've been going after this guy for some time. Guy that had made $80 million worth of Bitcoins running a site where you could buy anything. One of the accusations against this guy is that he tried to issue a hit, like an actual murder. Of course, using somebody that posted their hitman services on the Silk Road. Which seems like you might be like the guy from Arrested Development with the Blue Man Group if you were a Silk Road hitman.
Well, his...
How much contact would you get?
His username was Altoid. Kind of funny.
He wanted to kill Altoid.
Oh, right, right, right.
Because the username for Ross Ulbricht was Dread Pirate Roberts.
DRP. Derp.
I could understand. I mean, you know, wanting to issue a hit on somebody whose username was Altoid. I mean, it just kind of feel like you get a sense of what this guy must be like.
Stinky but cinnamony.
But that's one of the things that he may be charged with. But they're definitely going to charge him. It's going to have to be terrorism, right?
Yeah.
I mean, anything short of terrorism, the government's just going to look kind of weak.
Or trafficking.
Yeah, but he probably wasn't actually trafficking.
But I mean, when you facilitate black market commerce.
He was inciting. Right. What he was doing, Jake. Not a trafficking. An incitement. But what the people that know are saying is that now that the Silk Road is gone, there are just going to be 100 other sites similar to the Silk Road that just pop up. And it's just simple economics that says that that will happen, because they're saying also that this Ross Ulbricht guy, the Dread Pirate Roberts, the guy that ran the Silk Road, the guy that founded the Silk Road, that he was just sloppy about who his identity was. He could have done a much better job with his identity, Dread Pirate Roberts, that ran the Silk Road. They said that he posted in a chat room his actual email address, which was his name at gmail.com. He's one of those guys whose email address is their name at gmail.com. I mean, I can understand. It's just easy.
Or you do it backwards.
And, I've been in the charge of reviewing people's email addresses that you get just kind of through a, applicant process. And I've been in charge of reviewing the email addresses. Some of them are hilarious. When it's 420creampuff@69@yahoo.com and you're like applying for a job for somewhere, I can understand why you might want to just have it say, amyjones@gmail.com as opposed to Ford, you know, yeah, Hobnoblin at, you know, what would that be? Myway.com. But that's how they got him in trouble, is that he had actually put his actual email address in some chat room looking for somebody to do work on his, on some project he had. But what's going to happen, according to the people that say they know, is that there's going to be a multiplicity of Silk Roads out there now that the big one is gone. So you have eBay.
Trust busted.
You know, just exploded or something like that.
Well,
eBay would come back. There'd be a bunch of, you know, if the FBI shut down eBay.
How long before you can get Molly on Amazon?
I have no idea. Especially if they had that free 2-day shipping. Right. You know, that might be.
Prime it. Because you got to figure, you know, like.
No, a really long time, Jake. It's going to be a really long time before you can get Molly on Amazon.
But do you think you could now? If you just like the Silk Road, if you knew how to get there, if you knew what specifically to order, like some random TV part or something, you know, you order that on Facebook.
If you had a really good gift or promo code.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, you're familiar with the Tor networks, aren't you?
Yeah. It tries to make your IP address anonymous as you crawl around the web.
You crawl around the deep internet.
Right. I mean, a lot of people use Tor networks to download movies like off Pirate Bay. I mean, you only have to be in the deep underground. There's a way to track back BitTorrent sites.
Right.
So if you're, you know, got plenty of.
But you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to go on those BitTorrent sites. It's illegal.
Right. So is buying heroin. But if you do it through a Tor network.
Somehow it's, you know, you can't get caught.
It's much harder.
Just $1.2 billion worth of transactions. I mean, did that put a dent in like the street drug trade? $1.2 billion in just online transactions. I mean, brick and mortar drug dealers, were they affected by this? I mean, it'd be interesting to know. It's like, yo, Ray Ray, Mad Dog, we get a word with you, man. You feel like the Silk Road was impacting your street game. Right? Yeah, the corner business?
Well, and you would wonder who, because surely the bulk of that commerce was done by Americans, right? A huge chunk of it.
Oh, what about the people from the Netherlands? I think it was a global deal, Jake.
It was a global deal, but if you pie charted that thing up, wouldn't you say America had the biggest piece of that billion-dollar pie?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that might make sense, but what about Canada? You don't want to include Canada in this?
I'm all inclusive. I was just curious as to where most, because there aren't a lot of crack dealers in Canada. For example, they would be more apt to get on.
Is that based on LinkedIn?
But if you,
how do you know there's not
in Harlem or, you know,
might be a lot more crack dealers in Canada than you think,
or East LA.
There's a lot more people in America than there is in Canada.
There is. We
can, like 300,000 people live in Canada. There's like 320 million Americans, and then you start including all the illegals. And we're getting closer to, like, you know, we're getting, you know, pretty close to 700-800 million people.
Yeah, we're going to need a Silk Highway.
Well, what's just going to happen is the whole place is going to turn into a Hershey Highway. Essentially what's taking place. But the argument a lot of people are having is that, you know, it's actually good Socially, it's good. So instead of people having to buy drugs off the street, they can safely do it on the internet and just have the drugs delivered through the mail. I wonder if you did pass this, I wonder if people would be even weirder with the post guy. You know, if you knew the mailman was like bringing you crack and you're like all excited, you're like waiting for the mailman. It's like, yo, man, my crack come today? He's like, I don't have any packages for you. He's like, what you mean, man? Check your truck again. You didn't give my package to the neighbor, did you?
Oh, I'm sure there'd be FedEx or UPS, wouldn't it?
No, I don't know. I mean, if it was just legal. But, of course, you could sell to children. That's bad. You don't want to sell drugs to children.
What if they can figure out a Tor network and some...
Well, I take that back. You do want to sell drugs to children, but you want to do it in a way where you just have Miley Cyrus twerking a teddy bear on stage with a giant foam finger. And the guy from Growing Pains.
The guy from Growing Pains is
Alan Thicke, right?
His son.
I was like, look at that dude. That's Alan Thicke. And it was his son. I was blown away by that.
The lines are blurred.
Well, not when it comes to their hairdo. It's like the same thing. I always really liked Alan Thicke's hair. You know? And he spells it with the Canadian spelling, with an E on the end. So they spell stuff in Canada. Yeah, they sell drugs to children all the time. Now that's probably bad. But then did the Silk Road sell to children?
No.
You weren't supposed to, but you can't really check your ID.
I mean, you got to click on a button that says, I'm over 18.
That's got to, I mean, you know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure there's an amazing amount of information on that deep internet.
Oh, yeah.
But most of it's probably just, you know, FBI informants and child pornography.
And Molly.
Oh, and MDMA for sale.
Well, like
nobody's going to have... Do you realize that if MDMA continues to be this popular, nobody's going to have any serotonin left to reuptake and inhibit? Everyone's... You see what I'm saying? I'm... You know, MDMA, ecstasy, Molly, whatever it is. I don't know. I really do not know what the difference is. That is the equivalent of the Soma.
Right, in a Brave New World.
In a Brave New World. That is the exact same thing. You are not, if you were out there taking MDMA, you go dance party and all that kind of stuff, you are not expanding your consciousness or making back rubs. Well, I guess you are probably making your back rub a little bit better. Yeah, it's good for the glow stick in our industry. We should get in on that.
The adult pacifiers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, pacifiers for adults. Be a good time to invest in glow sticks and stuff because MDA is super, super popular. And mentholated cigarettes. Be a good time to just get in on those business opportunities. But literally, nobody's going to have any serotonin left. It's all going to be gone. And a brave new world will be here. Because you take enough MDMA, then you have to start messing with your serotonin in other ways because you're all emotional. That's what they say. You heard these things?
Right.
And it's a chemical. I mean, you know, at least crack has some baking soda in it. Baking soda is very useful. Do they put baking soda in MDMA?
No, it is methylene, dioxymethylamphetamine. That's what MDMA.
Yeah, whatever that is. How do you make that?
Well, it's meth. Apparently, you need iodine, red phosphorus, and codeine. No, wait, that was crock.
Well, we're coming up 4 o'clock hour. We should play a suicide from the archive.
Okay.
What you think? Be a good idea. Amazing how that works. 30. So I read this story. Apparently, the Sinaloa cartel, Guzman, Chapo, El Chapo, who is the kingpin of the Sinaloa cartel, El Chapo, is responsible for 80% of the methamphetamines that come to America.
80?
That's what they were saying, something like 80%. And there was a time where people smoked American. You know, they get that independence, you know, what do you call it? Sugar Creek Crank? What was that called? What was that stuff called?
I don't know.
Yeah, something along those lines. But it was made locally by the employees of the former BP plant in Sugar Creek or something. I might be wrong about all of that. But something along those lines. And it was, you know, people smoked American. They took an American light bulb and smoked some American methamphetamines and then had some methylated cigarettes.
And Mountain Dew.
And Mountain Dew. It's Diet Mountain Dew.
Bitcoins are holding strong at $134.30.
Keeping steady, maintaining a stability within the market.
A plateau.
But now, they said last year in Mexico, there were 13 tons of methamphetamines that were confiscated by the Mexican authorities. We're talking about the Mexican authorities confiscating drugs. It was 13 tons, which seems like a huge number until you see that this year it's been 31 tons. 31 tons.
They've been at it.
Of methamphetamine that the Mexican government, so that means that how much methamphetamine, if the Mexican authorities got 31 tons, how much didn't they get?
The rest.
Correct. The rest would be right. What would be the North American meth consumption for a fiscal year?
I'm sure it's an inverse to the amount of weight loss by all the tweakers in the land.
Well, that's good. So we'll keep the continent stable so we wouldn't flip it like a small South Pacific island. But if 31 tons were confiscated by the Mexican authorities, this is real serious, guys, the Mexican authorities. How much didn't get confiscated? 3 billion tons?
I mean, I wonder if they estimate total usage and tonnage.
I mean, and what? How much would how many pounds of methamphetamines does a hardcore tweaker consume in a year? Was it pounds or what would be a kilo? Be a large amount here. Should we do it metric, Jake? You get on the Wikipedia and figure all this out for us?
Not in 2.5 minutes. Look at this. Hold on.
31 tons. I mean, how much methamphetamine is that for every man, woman, and child? Is that like two bumps and a puff off a light bulb? What is that? What does that come out to? Because 31 tons, this is 62,000 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah, that's way too much math. I could get the calculator out.
62,000 pounds divided by, I mean, you got to go with at least 320 million people plus the guys that brought it here. So like another, 30 million people or something like that.
That's
What does it come out to?
One point seven thousandths of a pound.
How many grams is that, man?